Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. It's been the question as we have been working our way through the Gospel of John, and we've explored this question in the first four chapters so far. John begins his Gospel by sharing with us that Jesus is the Word of God become human. God become a human being to live among us. John goes on to share with us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Messiah sent by God. Today we are going to look at the story from John chapter 5, and in this chapter we begin to see a change in attitude toward Jesus, first by the religious authorities, and later, as we'll see next week, by crowds in general. As Jesus reveals more of himself through what he does and what he says about himself, there will be more and more opposition. It will be an opposition that will continue from chapter 5 and will go all the way until that final opposition when they yell, "Crucify him," and he is killed on a cross. So I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 5 if you would like and read along. And we're going to look at this story of the man by the pool, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17 of John chapter 5. If you're using the Bible in your pew to read along, it's on page 885. Now afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethesda, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. But this miracle happened on the Sabbath. So the Jewish leaders objected. They said to the man who was cured, "You can't work on the Sabbath. The law doesn't allow you to carry that sleeping mat." But he replied, "The man who healed me told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who said such a thing as that?" they demanded. The man didn't know, for Jesus had disappeared into the crowd. But afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and told him, "Now you are well. So stop sinning, or something even worse may happen to you." Then the man went and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had healed him. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." A man is mowing his lawn using an old-fashioned push mower. His little five-year-old son is sitting on the porch watching his dad when suddenly he stands up and says, "I want to mow." The father says to his son, "You know, it's very hard to mow. You need a lot of strength to push this mower. I don't think you can do it." But the little five-year-old boy says, "I want to mow." And so the father says, "Okay." And he goes over and sits down on the porch, and he says to his five-year-old son, "Go ahead." So the little boy runs over all excited, puts his hands on the handle of the mower, and begins to push. And nothing happens. and he strains, and he uses all of his muscles, and he tries so hard that he even begins to tremble with the strain, but the mower does not budge. Finally, he lowers his head dejectedly, takes his hands off the mower, looks at his dad, and says, "I can't. I can't." The father gets up from the porch, walks over to the mower, puts his little son's hands back on the handles, puts his big hands next to those small hands, and together they push. And glory be, the mower moves, and together they finish mowing the lawn. Do you want to get well? Of course the man wants to get well. What kind of a question is that? And he has done everything that he can think of to get well. He has, I am sure, prayed to get well. He has hoped to get well. He has hung out by this pool where if you can get into the water, you're supposed to be able to get well. What else can I do? I have tried everything I can to get well. Of course I want to get well. Now that question, do you want to get well, is not just a question for a man lying by a pool 2,000 years ago. It is a very relevant question for you and for me today. For Jesus asks us the very same question. Do you want to get well? Is there some sickness in your life, some physical or emotional or spiritual disease that is impacting you and affecting you and holding you back? Is there something within you that needs to be changed? Not just because God says it needs to be changed, although that's a pretty good reason to seek change, but you are experiencing the effects of dis-ease. Jesus is here today through his word and by the presence of his Holy Spirit who lives within us, and he's asking you and me today, do you want to get well? For you see, God the Father is in the business of making people well, and so is his Son, Jesus Christ, who said, "I do the work of my Father. What my Father does is what I do." They are in the business of healing. The more encompassing word that the New Testament uses is the word salvation. That's what God is about, salvation. And that's what he asks of us today. Now, the Greek word used in the New Testament that we translate salvation is soteria. And the word soteria in Greek has a much broader meaning than often we give to the English word salvation when we find it in Scripture. For the idea of soteria in Greek is the idea of restoration. It's the idea of being in a good and safe place. It's the idea of health and well-being in all its forms, physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual. Soteria has to do with protection from evil and from ending up in a terrible place. So when Jesus comes and asks us, do you want to get well? He is asking us, do you desire restoration? To be restored into a right relationship with my Father and with myself? Do you desire to experience a place of safety, a place of well-being, to live in a good place? Do you desire health and well-being for those things in your life that are producing anxiety, that are producing fear, that are producing worry, and that are leading to physical manifestations of those various mental categories? Do you desire to be well? And do you desire to know that you are safe, that you are protected, indeed that you are guaranteed to spend eternity in a good place, enjoying an everlasting and eternal life with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit and all who, like you, have placed their faith in Jesus Christ? Do you want to get well? Jesus is asking us today. What we need to realize, and this is such an important thing that the story tells us, is Jesus is unable to make us well unless we come to him humbly and purposefully and say, as the man by the pool said to Jesus, as the little boy says to his father, I can't. I can't get well. I have tried to get well. I have done all I can to get well. I have read books about being well. I have gone to see doctors to be well. I have tried to change my own life in order to be well. I can't. Because until we are willing to come to that place, until we are able to come to that realization, God will not force himself upon us. As long as we say, oh yeah, I'd like it well and I'm working on it, thank you for your concern, I'll let you know how things are going. And that is our tendency in our human pride to do exactly that. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate the sentiment. I'm doing just fine, thank you. And Jesus patiently waits. As we push, as we strain, as we do everything we can to move whatever it is that needs to be moved, and it doesn't budge. And we try again, and we try harder, and we ask our friends, and we ask our pastor, and when we ask the TV and the Google and everybody, what am I going to do? And we try it all, and Jesus waits patiently. It is only when we are willing to say, I can't, that Jesus gets up off the porch, and he puts his hands next to ours and says, let's do this together. That's God's way. He doesn't say to us, hey, I got this. You go back and sit down and watch me. You know, watch me work. No, we're in it together. But not until we are willing of our own free will to invite Jesus to join us in whatever enterprise is needed for us to be well. It will not happen, for he will not force it upon us. And so we have to get to that place. I don't know, maybe the reality that John tells us that this man had been sick for 38 years, maybe for 38 years, it had taken him that long to honestly come to the place of saying, I can't. And unfortunately, it's the same thing for many of us. For years and years and years, oh yes, we're Christians. This doesn't have to do with whether or not we're saved. In the place of faith, and when it comes to a spiritual understanding that we can't save ourselves, at some point we may have said, I know that salvation is not mine. I have come and I believe in Jesus and I believe he died for my sins. I'm all about that, but now I need to live my life, right? I need to get out there and push my own mowers, right? No, Jesus says, just as you need me in order to enjoy eternal life, so you need me to enjoy life today, life right now. I've come to give abundant life, Jesus says later in the Gospel of John, and that includes this broader abundance of soteria, this broader sense of well-being. I am waiting and I am willing. And when you honestly are ready to say, I'm going to stop trying to make this happen myself, doesn't mean I get to just sit down and do nothing. But now Jesus is the one who is adding his strength to mine. And we're doing this together. I can't, says the man. And Jesus responds, stand up, take your mat, and walk. See, the invitation that Jesus gives us is to walk into a new life, into a new place of well-being, into a new place of assurance and hope and joy and peace, to walk into that with him, to stand up, to respond. Jesus is not interested in bringing healing to us and having us remain in the same place. There is something to be done here. There is movement. We are to walk with Jesus. We are to pick up whatever that thing was, perhaps, that was holding us back, or that crutch, or whatever it might be, and we are to move into a new reality. We are to walk a new path with him. We are to work on mowing that lawn together. That's what he asks of the man, and the man, he stands up, and he picks up his mat, and he begins to walk. And he walks into a glorious future. But here, the story takes a bit of a twist. As he is walking, as he is healed, as he's carrying his mat, he comes across the religious rule makers of his day. And the religious rule makers say to him, hey, you! You're not allowed to carry your mat on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus, who healed me, told me to. Very important. The man is being obedient to the instructions of Jesus, even knowing that he is doing something that will get him called on the carpet by the religious leaders. This is what Jesus has told me to do. This is what I must do if I am to do his will in my life. I am to walk into a new life. I am to carry my mat into this new life. But the opposition, rule makers say, no, you're not supposed to do that. You know, and so it is with you and I today. When we hear Jesus ask us, do you want to get well? And we say, I can't. And Jesus says, get up and take up your mat and walk. And we begin to walk into a new life with his strength and with his joy and seeking to do his will and to be his faithful followers. We are going to experience opposition in this world today. We are going to experience resistance and even hatred as Jesus himself and his followers experienced it. For we have the rule makers of our world today who are in opposition to what Jesus asks us to do. He asks us to go out and be his witnesses and to live his kind of life. He asks us to go out and repeat his words in John chapter 14. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we speak that word, and the world goes, no, 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 no. You can't say that. There are many ways to God. And if you keep saying that, we will be opposing you even harder. We go into the world and say, we have found the truth. No, 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 no. You're not allowed to say that. There's no absolute truth. There is simply, well, whatever truth everybody finds. You may not go around saying that there is some kind of absolute truth, and that person is Jesus. We go into this new life that Jesus brings us into as he makes us well. A life where we seek to follow the ethical and the moral rules that God has put forth in his word and that Jesus affirmed in his ministry. And we go out into the world and we seek to live that way, and we say God desires for all people to live that way, and we're told, no, 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 you can't say that. Don't you know that everybody should be able just to do what is right in their own eyes? Everybody's morals and everybody's ethics is up to them. Don't tell us there's a God who we need to follow. As the man experienced, so will we experience, if we walk with God, opposition. Which is unfortunately why so many Christians, when Jesus says, do you want to get well? They go, sure, I'd love to get well. Will you please heal me, Jesus? And then they just keep laying on their mat, right there, by the pool. Just kind of keep doing what you've always doing, because Nobody will bother you then. You won't be opposing any rules. You won't get in trouble with anybody. And it's fairly comfortable. You're used to it. I've been laying here for 38 years. Okay, I'm well now. But yeah, this is not so bad. That's not why Jesus heals us. That's not why he asks us the question, do you want to get well so we can stay where we are? It's, do you want to get well so together we can move into a new reality, a joyful, glorious reality that culminates with that absolute, that eternal reality that we call heaven. So Jesus comes to us today and he says to each one of us, do you want to get well? If there is a sickness in your life that you're aware of at this time, a sickness of body or a sickness of emotion, a sickness of spirit, a sickness of what is going on in terms of your relationships with other people, Jesus says to us, do you want to get well? And when we're ready to say, you know, I can't. I know I can't. I've tried, but it's not working out. Jesus says, let's do this together. Together. If you're willing, I would love to come alongside and to lend my strength, to lend my power, to lend my ability to your life. Are you willing to walk into a new reality with me? Today, we will. It commemorates that evening before he was crucified that Jesus sat down with his disciples at the dinner, and he said to them, this bread is my body, and this cup is my blood. Tomorrow it will be broken for you, it will be shed for you. Now I want you to come alongside with me in remembrance of me, eat this bread and drink this cup. And so recognize something that I'm doing for you, but I'm asking you to join me in by faith, accept that my death on the cross will be for your forgiveness of sin, something that you cannot do. You cannot receive forgiveness for your own sin according to your own effort. No matter how hard you push that particular lawnmower called forgiveness, you're not going to be able to budge it. But this is what I'm doing for you, but I'm also doing it with you. I ask you by faith to walk with me into a new life in the reality of my a new situation that we know will culminate in eternity with an existence, a forever existence, where there is no more sickness, there is no more pain, where every tear has been dried and every lawn has been fully mowed and it looks wonderful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and we thank you for this particular story from the life of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that it teaches us that we have a God who loves us, a God who consistently comes to us and offers us health, who offers us restoration and well-being and goodness and protection from any concern about the eternal state of our soul. Father, may we recognize the truth of this story, that what we must do is be willing to admit that we can't make these things happen for ourselves. Even in our human pride, as we try, and perhaps, Lord, for years we have made effort in these directions, in the end, Lord, we must admit that we can't do this by ourselves. And so we invite you to join us. We invite you to come alongside with us and to give us that which we need, no matter what area of life it may be, Father. And we're grateful for the ways that you work. Sometimes you work miraculously, and sometimes you work through the natural resources that you have given to us in this world. But you are at work, as Jesus did the Father's work when he was here on earth. So the Spirit continues in our lives to do the Father's work of bringing about health, wholeness, salvation, soteria. And so may we be open to that today, and may we walk with you. May we, Lord, be willing to pick up the old and recognize, as the Apostle Paul will say, that I am a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. We walk into a new life, and indeed, we walk into a new eternity. We pray in Jesus' name.